It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A quick note here on programming. Join us tonight at 8 for a conversation about how racial and cultural trauma affect communities of color and what support, treatments, and preventative measures are needed. The special is called Call to Mind, a spotlight on Black trauma and policing. That's this evening at 8 on the Ideas Network. Right now, we go to Milwaukee, where news outlets are reporting dozens of businesses have been looted, vandalized, or torched in recent days. Police have fired tear gas and rubber bullets to disperse crowds in recent days. Drivers following protest marches have driven onto sidewalks and lawns. Angry demonstrators have thrown rocks, bottles, shattering shop windows. And the rage and resentment sparked in Minneapolis after the death of George Floyd has fanned out across the country and world, spawning peaceful protests by day and also lawlessness at night. Are you participating in the marches? What is it like being on the ground and part of this movement? We're at 800-642-1234. Tracy Dent is co-founder of the Milwaukee Coalition Against Hate. It's made up of local residents, city leaders, organizations, and businesses focused on ending racism, prejudice, and inequalities. Tracy, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with the peaceful protests and the marches that you're seeing, the people, thousands of people coming out for these marches. What do you think about the messages?
The message is that, you know, they're marching for Floyd, but also the pain and suffering and the anger that that they're having here in the city of Milwaukee with the Milwaukee Police Department. And they're just tired. You know, and I'm watching this. And one of the things that is so amazing is that they marching in like probably in the thousands. I'm not a good, you know, just an educated guess. But this is like the largest marches that we ever had since the civil rights movement. And the organizers, they are very professional when they're controlling the protesters. You know, it's just amazing. And it's a warm feeling that this is like the younger generation who actually is taking a stand against the injustice and the racism and the hatred that's going on, not with just the Milwaukee Police Department, but just in general. You know, Milwaukee is labeled as the most segregated city in the country. So, it's so many different factors that's going on and why they're marching. And it's so amazing to see that it's a diverse crowd.
And maybe that is what feels different to you this time, that this movement is different because it is younger. And there are people who are coming out from all walks of life.
Yes, yes. And, I keep telling people, because I've been there and I've observed, because I'm very observant, the night mayhem has no association with the peaceful protests during the day. Because if they was related, then they would have done something during the day also. And I know that the goal of the organizers to keep it peaceful. Don't tear up the you know, vandalize, looting and stuff like that. They don't believe in that. They just want justice. They want to be heard, and it's just that, you know, they are denouncing it. I'm denouncing it. Those people that they need to leave. They need to stop what they're doing and not be part of the movement itself. If they have a hidden agenda to cause havoc, you know.
When you look down the streets, and I saw you on the streets in the Harambe neighborhood earlier this week, and you look at the destruction, what goes through your mind?
Anger. Not anger towards the police, but anger towards those people who did this destruction. You know, and I always say, and it's crazy because, like, you're marching for justice, but at the same time, you're destroying your own community. And I always say it like this. You're sending mixed messages, mixed signals. Are you saying that we need to destroy our own community to get justice? That's a question mark, you know, open-ended, because it's like, it doesn't make sense. It does not make sense why you want to destroy. And it just angered me because you're you're going toward a different direction of the message. The message is that we're tired of being harassed. We're tired of being killed. And I'm talking about, you know, those racist bad cops, you know, and, you know, by destroying property, looting has no association with the movement and the goal of what we're trying to accomplish as a community and even just worldwide. Because now I see there's protests all over the world, and it's amazing how, you know, Mr. Floyd himself ignited such unity across the world.
We're talking with Tracy Dent, co-founder of the Milwaukee Coalition Against Hate. We're looking at the thousands of protesters who have joined together to march for days now and hours to demand justice for George Floyd and others killed by police around the country. You can join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Have you joined the protests? What is the message? What are the next steps? And how is policing in your neighborhood? What does it feel like? Call in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Tracy, as you look at Milwaukee Police Department now with the protesters and their response, how would you judge what they're doing when they are pushing back protesters or controlling the crowds?
To me, it's like a double-edged sword, because you have those agitators who are provoking the police department. And I've seen it hands-on recently the other day when I was on 6th and McKinley, and I seen some of the protesters throwing objects. You know, it could have been bottles or whatever, but I just know they were throwing objects at the police. So the police started making a move towards everybody to disperse. And I guess the protesters wanted to go downtown that direction, and they would not let them. But then after so many things, you know, they decided to start using rubber bullets and tear gas to disperse the crowd. I got caught up in that because I was filming when I was doing it. I went Facebook Live just watching the protests and everything. You know, and it's like it's crazy because that the agitators have a different agenda, it seems like, trying to create havoc, trying to create violence, you know, amongst the police and the protesters. When the protesters and the organizers saying, hey, we're doing a peaceful protest, a peaceful march, and we don't want, you know, havoc. We don't want violence, because that's not the message. The message is that we're fighting for justice. We're fighting for Mr. Floyd. And that was the clear message that they, you know, why they are marching. Because if it was any other thing, you wouldn't see all those people in thousands. You wouldn't see thousands of protesters. They all on the same page. But those agitators have a different agenda.
When you got caught up in that moment, what went through your head?
I was telling people to get back, you know. It was more of a lot of different emotions, excitement, panic, and just trying to get clear. Because when they started shooting the tear gas and the rubber bullets, I started running. Ran into me and knocked me down, and then that person fell down. But then it's just, like I said, it's just, you know, I like to say it comes with the territory. Because when you see police officers and the National Guard lined up next to each other, and it was about like over 100 of them, of the police and National Guards, and then they have the Humvees and all their heavy equipment, you know something. They're there more than just keeping the peace. We're going to disperse them.
How do you feel about the National Guard in your city right now?
I say it's needed. It's sad, but it's needed. Because Milwaukee like I said, this generation never experienced this type of protest before, this type of march. And everybody is overwhelmed. I mean, the organizers of the protest, the police, even the regular citizens of Milwaukee, which are caught in the middle. They feel like they're in the war zone because, you know, even though they want to support, they don't want to get involved in the march itself, you know. So it's like they just want, you know, they want it to end. That's basically, they want all this stuff to end. Some residents, elderly residents had told me.
I bet elderly residents that you talk to in your neighborhood feel a lot of pain right now.
Yeah, they say they understand. And they're proud of the younger generation taking a stand against police brutality, injustice, racism, and all that. So Kadeh was trying to tell me stories about, you know, back in the civil rights movement and how they marched and stuff like that. But they just don't like the looting. They don't agree with the vandalism of buildings and stuff like that. So, yeah.
We're talking with Tracy Dent, co-founder of the Milwaukee Coalition Against Hate. We're talking about taking to the streets to express anger over the George Floyd death in police custody and seeking accountability in policing. Are you part of the protests? Have you turned out for them? What is your message? Should racism be declared a public health crisis? How do you feel about police relations in your neighborhood today? Be part of this at 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute with Tracy Dent right here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In Milwaukee, Wednesday, protesters spoke out against police brutality for the sixth consecutive day in the city. The African-American Roundtable published a list of demands co-signed by dozens of civic organizations and community leaders calling for the protection of protesters, reduction and accountability in policing, and stepped-up funding, more money for public health services. Are you hearing substantive ideas on how to address concerns with racial injustice? What are your ideas for change, and how do you see them in action? Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. We have Tracy Dent, who co-founded the Milwaukee Coalition Against Hate. He stays with us. Let's take a call now. Rodney is in Peshtigo this morning. Hi, Rodney.
Hello. I'm wondering why looters are such a minority. How come the protesters ain't controlling them?
Well, the thing is that that's a very good question. And I wish, honestly, I wish I had the answers to that, because the looters are doing this like at 1-2 o'clock in the morning. And then the organizers, they in their protests, maybe about 8-9 o'clock at night. And then they just go home. And then the agitators or whoever that's doing the looting, you know, they're taking it upon themselves. They are well organized, because I was actually at a spot here in Milwaukee at a local Walgreens where I saw them. It was a 24-hour Walgreens, and I saw them run in, run out with stuff, you know. So I saw at firsthand them looting, and then someone drove up by me right next to me and asked me, where did we go next? And he, when he realized that I wasn't part of their little group, then he drove off. So it's well planned where, you know, those looters, they was well planned of where they was going, you know, how to do what they was doing and everything. So that is not part of the actual protest itself. You know, these are just agitators. These are, you know, people that does not stand for what we're trying to accomplish.
And you're seeing a total dichotomy, the peaceful, concerted protests during the day and then something else completely happening at night. Let's bring in Patrick now in Winona, Minnesota. Hi, Patrick.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I just had a quick comment. You know, I was listening to an interview on NPR, I believe it was yesterday morning. They interviewed Amy Klobuchar about what was going on. And
U.S. Senator. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They followed it up with, you know, one of the questions was about Officer Chauvin and her time as a prosecutor up in Minneapolis and how she addressed some of the issues with police officer violence and racial violence while during her time in, at their position and what action she took. And her response was, I was just doing what was normal at the time. And I think it's important to remember, especially now, because she's a potential vice presidential candidate, that that wasn't normal at the time. We're not talking about 50 years ago, about 40 years ago. We're talking about just a few years ago when she was in that position. Racial violence is not something that's okay 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 15 years ago. You know, within most people's lifetime here, and we're still seeing it, and our elected officials, regardless of either party, what they say, what they're actually doing and the actions that they're taking to help, you know, eliminate it, just aren't what reflective of what they're telling the people in general.
Patrick, thanks. I want to get Tracy to jump in here with a response.
Yeah, and he's correct. It's not okay. It is not okay. No period of lifetime that, you know, oh, we just that was just the end thing. This is what we just did at the time. No, because that's just not right. And see, here in Wisconsin, there's the governor and one state representative is crafting a piece of legislation to hold more accountability to the police officers. And then there's a state senator who used to be a former police officer, and his response to the craft of the piece of legislation is that it's this. He's saying that, oh, this is written by some liberals. So that's the problem. That's the problem with elected officials. They put politics over people's lives. And that's where the elected officials, lose focus. You know, he's more worried about his politic and his position in politics versus trying to understand the piece of legislation. Stop putting a label on stuff and say, let me be part of it. Of this piece of legislation, let me give my input versus denouncing it and just saying, oh, it's a liberal thing. You know, that's what's wrong with America today, because we're putting politics over people's lives.
We're talking with Tracy Dent, an activist in Milwaukee, reflecting on the protests against police brutality and systemic racism. And what happens next with your thoughts as well at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Jeremy now in Racine. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I want to talk endgame here. Once the movement starts to die down, we have elections coming up. We need to get people engaged more locally with their mayor elections, their alderman elections, judges, everything. Majority of people in communities and districts rarely get out to vote for those elections. They're always about the governorships, the federal level, but they don't engage in local elections that have a more profound impact on their everyday life than the federal and state does. And that's where change really starts to begin, from the bottom up, so to speak. I mean, that is truly a grassroots thing. Most people in my neighborhood don't even know who their alderman is, and that's a sad fact that goes on all over this country. People are not engaged locally enough to make any sound changes.
Jeremy, thanks. Tracy, go ahead.
Yes, and Jeremy, you are totally correct. We need to, you know, as community leaders, even elected officials, and the thing is, it's funny, it's like I said, it's a double-edged sword. the elected officials really don't want to educate the public. You know, because when it's election time, everything goes out the window. It's about winning. It's not even about the issues. It's about how to win the race. And they go any length to win. Low verdict. They even use the COVID-19 as, you know, a weapon towards the election so they can win. Because they know that is, excuse me, the elected officials already has a base of voters. So when you have a low voter turnout, most of the time they will stay in office.
Tracy, now, let me ask you this, and I want to interject because we're short on time. But yeah. Lay out for us, what are next steps here? What can people do proactively? What will you be doing proactively?
What needs to happen next? The marches still needs to happen. But at the same time, it's time for the elected officials, the police officials, also community leaders. We all need to sit down and discuss what does change look like and craft something and then present it to the community, because we need the community input on this so we can start moving forward in a positive way and also start building and bridging the gap. When it comes to community and police relations, it's going to take all of us. We need to listen to each side and work together and work on those solutions and stay on top of it. Because as racism, injustice is a constant, the solution has to be a constant. It has to go hand in hand all the time. It's not going to happen overnight, but we have to start somewhere.
Tracy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Tracy Dent, an activist co-founder of the Milwaukee Coalition Against Hate, focused on ending racism, prejudice, and inequalities. Just ahead, we spend the hour talking about grief and how it's evolving amid the pandemic. We'll talk with those who've lost someone because of the coronavirus. Join us to hear those stories. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.